this man was mightily enlightened. He's the one who wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was turned towards God, and the Word was God." And starts his letter, "What was from the beginning." Now that beginning, from the beginning, is the beginning of the gospel, when Jesus began to manifest who the Father is by preaching, by teaching. You see, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we looked upon and touched with our hands, the word of life. Now the translation puts in concerns. I forgot to check that up. I know there's no concerns there in the text. But how can you hear, see, look, and touch the word of God? Because he became man. This wonder, the infinite depth of love with which God could hardly stop himself from coming to take us out of the mess that our own rebellion, vindictiveness, and cruelty had brought on ourselves and everybody else. He could have said, "Well, you're in a pickle, so stay there." What would you do? Call a cop? Nothing we could do. But God so loved the world, and you know the rest of how that goes, right? That he gave his only begotten Son. And that anyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Believe in him. Well, believing means to just first, I guess, yield to the truth in a vague way. You know, get to church on Sunday, too. But as the Lord starts to work in our life, that really means, you see, believing, knowing, and interacting with Jesus every day. And he's God. And he's going to come and strengthen us by giving our bodies, not just our ears, hearing about it, our bodies, our mouth, our tongue, our stomach, touch with God. That's an exaggeration. But that's the way love is. There's a line in Paul, because of his great love. But the translators put it into Latin, propter nimium caritata, because of his excessive love. He overdid it. And he did. To come to us. Huh? We have seen it and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was made visible to us. You know, all our knowledge, well, most of it, comes through the senses. There's no way, if God had just touched our spirit and said, "I am among you," that we'd get it. And if we did get it, we'd forget it. And so he came among us. And then, you know, he made reparation for our sin, atonement. St. Thomas says, you make up for an offense when you offer to the offended person something of equal or greater good, great value than that which he lost by your conduct. Or whatever. That's true. you see, that's why in Jesus giving his human life, coursing through even all that suffering, the infinite love of the Word of God from all eternity, coursing through this body and dying on the cross to save us, to bring back to the Father that which could never come back to the Father without his help. And that's why you see he says these things. We have seen it and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was made visible to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. The fellowship is what? Knowing and loving Jesus. That's our fellowship. You see? And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And we are writing this so that our joy may be complete. Well, now, whose joy? Is that the authorial we, our joy? Or is it our joy? It's our joy. I write this so that you will never forget what God has done for the whole human race and for you. And that's joy. Our joy may be complete. And that's why they take these opening lines of this letter, which is so beautiful. And then they take this gospel to try to give us an insight into who John is. Mary Magdalene, you see, saw Jesus. First, she thought he was the gardener. Sir, if you've taken him, you've taken the Lord. How can you take the Lord? I mean, just think of this, right? He's Lord, right? It's not like picking him up a book and putting him, you know. But she's so beside herself, she doesn't know what she's saying. And so she said, and then our Lord says to her, you know, Miriam. And that does it. Oh my gosh. It's Jesus. So she falls at his feet and clasps them. And he said, now don't hold me now. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. But go tell my disciples. So the first preacher of the gospel was this prostitute. I mean, isn't that great? And she was the first one. That's why in tradition they call her the apostle of the apostles. She preached the gospel to them by telling them then, you know. And so, but this text. So Peter, the other one got there first, probably younger. He bent down and saw the burial cloths, but he didn't go in. Don't know why. When Simon Peter arrived after him, of course, Peter's going to go right in, take a look. That's the way Peter is. That's why he's the leader. John is the depth, but the leader has to be somebody who's going to do something. And so that's why he goes right in. And then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. He saw and believed. Well, now, what did he see and what did he believe? You know, if you see Jesus standing there in glory with a smile on his face, loving you, well, you do more than believe that he's risen from the dead, right? But here, you could probably translate this, and he began to believe. It's what's called an incipient aorist. Remember that, and you'll be saved. He began to believe. And that's the gospel they use to sum up this blessed genius. Where would we be without John's gospel? Now, of course, you know, in the business, we're always arguing about who this John is and how could a fisherman write this kind of splendid, limpid Greek? Well, I don't know. But how could this bread become the body of Christ? I mean, it's a little bit more challenging. And that's what you see, as it says in this letter. See, this is the... He's writing this letter to a community that's been troubled. And he's going to call them back to reality. Let's remember this. This is how we get back to reality. What we heard, what we've seen, what we looked upon, touched with our hands, the word of life. You see? For the life, the eternal, divine life, was made visible. Why? You know, if it's not visible, we don't get it. All our knowledge starts in the senses. That's the way we're made. So he came among us. And then, rising from the dead, you remember, and then Thomas, good old Thomas, I'm not going to believe anything unless I can, you know, put my finger in that and put my hand in there where the soldier put the lance. When he comes, Jesus says, "All right, Thomas, come." Well, he's embarrassed. Can you suppose that was you? You were, "I won't do this and I won't." Then he stands right in front of you. And he says, "Well, now come and do that if you'd like." Wouldn't you be embarrassed? I mean, and not only is he there, but he knows what I said yesterday, and he wasn't even there. My Lord and my God. And then a beatitude. See, you believe because you saw me. Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. How can we do that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Meditate on that for a while. Not only does he have to die on the cross, rise from the dead, but the Holy Spirit has to move us to believe that. We can't do that. And so, this is the feast. And it's put here sort of as a... We're not finished with the octave yet, but you see with this... you come here. Touch me. Receive my body and blood. Open up your heart when you receive it. Let me work in you. Let me change you. I want you to love me so that you can really see how much I love you. It's not just a logical conclusion. If he died for me, I guess he must have some kind of love for me. That's not good enough, is it? No. We have to know how much he loves us. Be overwhelmed with it. And then do our best to answer. And that's why he says, and that I just already told you, that the tradition, when he was the only one not martyred, somebody had to stay around to keep things stable. And it was John. And he said, so when he was really old, and they wanted words of wisdom, this is the tradition anyway, from this old saint who knew Jesus since he himself was about 20. Teach us, John. And he would say, little children, love each other. And they'd say, you always say that. Is there anything else you want to say? No. There is the whole law and the gospel. Well, we can't love like that without being close to Jesus. and receiving his body and blood into our body and blood. And then if we yield to the power of that, we'll be saints.